Good morning. I was just in with the confirmands this morning. What a group we have. The questions, the comments, the richness of that experience. I have to drag myself away to come here, and that's okay too. And so thank you for letting me be away for a bit of this. And I also want to warn you that I've never, ever in my whole life, and I've had years where I could have, I have never preached this passage using the illustration I'm going to use today. Because I have always felt that somebody would fall over and somebody else would scream and run out the door. So are those doors locked? Right now. Jim, get on it. Have you ever wondered how Saul felt about his life before he was blinded by that light? You know, he was born in the southeast part of what we now call Turkey, and he was born about 5 years after we think Jesus was born. So he's just a bit younger than Jesus. His parents are Pharisees. In our encounters with Jesus, the Pharisees are one of the groups that are really looking at Jesus and judging him. And this is what Saul was raised with. He was raised with a group of fervent Jewish nationalists who followed the law of Moses exactly. You know, you were not supposed to travel on the Sabbath. But you could go as far as one specific length of cord. That was okay. And then somebody decided, well, we'll do that, but then can't we just gather the cord up and then go a bit farther? Oh, and the Pharisees would have been at them. Not allowed. As a child, he was protected from Gentiles, from people who were not Jewish. And he was bright. He was very bright, very well educated. He became a lawyer, and all the signs pointed that he would, in the near distant future, become one of the 70 men of the Sanhedrin, one of the 71 men who made the decisions for all the issues around their laws. Very prestigious. And he had committed his life, of course, to being a Pharisee. So here he was. He wasn't compromising. He was very strict and zealous in his faith. And his spirit was fueled, I'm thinking, by fear. By fear of this new group within the Jewish community. And it bolstered his determination that only what he believed was right. And we, if we think about it, we probably all know that a heart that pumps out of fear and anger and hatred hardens. Long ago, in my opinion, Saul lost connection with God. So messages from God weren't getting through to him because his heart was so hard and his hatred was so focused. He lost his human vulnerability. And he protected himself by abusing his power and becoming even more zealous. So it was one of these vicious cycles. We would call today this man who changed his name after he saw the light from Saul to Paul, and who I actually respect. I'm in awe of Paul more than anyone else but Jesus in the New Testament after he saw the light. But at this time, on his road to Damascus to get those Christians, people, they were called followers of the way at that time. They weren't a separate faith at all. To drag them in chains back to Jerusalem where they would be punished. And so he is agitative, aggressive, and anxious. And today we would call him a religious extremist. So you can imagine people were terrified of him, these people of the way, because he was threatening their lives and killing innocent people. And in the chapter 8, just before the passage that Don read this morning, it says, we're told, Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women, and Saul would put them in prison. And that, to me, is being a religious terrorist. That's Saul. So this morning, the confirmands are looking at different spiritual practices. And they're looking at practices like meditation and contemplation, reading scripture, putting yourself in the passage. And so I decided I would do that. And so that's what the rest of the service is about. There was a time when I lived in fear. I too became a religious extremist. Saul turned his fears outward, and he lashed out at what he didn't understand. And I turned my fears inward. And I was really more like a worn-out doormat. However, I was frantic to regain my connection that had been severed, I recognize that, with God. And so, as a single mother, a single working mother, I attended 3 Bible studies a week, faithfully, and contributed, and did one on my own as well, besides everything else, because I knew I was missing something, and I thought if I did more, surely I would find God. But there were no answers, and so I just kept on doing more of the same. You know, we now say if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results, expecting something different, you go crazy. Well, I didn't. But I lived in a world of depression and dejection and despair. And on the outside, this is the crazy-making piece, on the outside, I got all sorts of compliments for being such a good wife before I separated from my husband, and such a good mother. And people would come up and say this to me, and I was too clued out. Nothing was coming in, because I had one of those hard hearts too. And I was functioning like a robot. I knew the steps. I knew how to bathe my children and get them looking good. I knew how to tell stories. But I wasn't a part of that. I was doing things without connecting with people. Then, one day, when I was least expecting it, out of the blue, I saw the light. I was driving up Highway 6 from Guelph's Center for Spirituality, the Jesuit Retreat Center, Loyola House. I had just attended, as I had before, I had just attended a 3-day silent retreat. For 3 days, I did not speak to anyone. People were coming and going, like so, but we didn't speak. And my job for 3 days was to go out and listen, to stay in and listen, to listen. Just listen for God. Don't do another thing. Don't think another thought. Just be. I was weary on the way back because I had not heard God at all. I did not see God. And I was frustrated because I had lost half a week's pay to go on this 3-day trip. And now I was coming home late on a Sunday night, and I would have to do the laundry. Then I'd have to get the lunches made. And I was just probably working myself into a position of grumbling. And I even put that on the, I still remember, I even put that on the form, on the evaluation form. Worst retreat I've ever been at. Didn't hear a thing. I'm so mad I came. Like, that's usually not me, but that's where I was, okay? So, little did I know that after 3 days of listening for God and doing nothing else, a miracle was happening inside me. My heart was softening, and I reached a depth of openness within myself where I was able to hear God speak. And God's Spirit reached me. Finally, it wasn't that God had not been speaking or God had not been present all along. And this was my amazement. I heard God's voice, and then my heart was dazed by deep spiritual peace. Saul did his a little dip backwards to me. Just like Saul, I was stunned. Just like Saul, I surrendered, crossed over to the other side, and came home to myself. It was simple. I didn't do anything I didn't think. For I heard God's voice at a deep place, deeper than any place I have ever heard anything within me before. I didn't know this deep a place existed. But I did know it was God's voice. It was, because I couldn't have in 1,000 years, couldn't have imagined this in 1,000 years. And God's voice spoke to me, and God's voice said, I am lesbian. Okay? Out of the blue. Oh, that was the biggest surprise. And at the same time, I had the deepest peace. I had a peace right through my whole body as I'm driving the car on the highway late at night. Such a deep sense of peace. And I was going, wait a minute, I should pull over. I should really pull over. No, there's a wonderful sense of peace. I just have to keep going on this road and experience that sense of joy. So, that was the deepest and the surest connection with God's life force that I've experienced. And I could accept that truth, even though I had never even imagined that before, and accept God's encouragement to claim my identity at long last and stop being that doormat, depressed doormat, and that this indeed was gift. And I could believe that all in those few moments. So I became free to live my life. I became liberated by the Spirit's energy. Rather than stifling God's Spirit within me, just shutting it down, to conform and make that pretty picture that all my neighbors really, really loved about me. So Saul, he was blind for 3 days. I didn't have that experience. I woke up immediately. But he went from inky darkness into the light, not a glimmer, not a flicker, not a solitary ray, but the full splendor of God's light and God's glory. Burst forth more brightly than any sunrise we've experienced, and Saul could see again. And he jumped to his feet at the end of the reading. He jumps to his feet. He's baptized. He sits down with Christian friends in this community that he's never in his life expected to be a part of. And there he is sharing a hearty meal with them. Do you see how life-changing an event that was for Saul? It was unbelievable, incredulous, fantastic. And the God of creation said to Saul, and the God of creation said to me, and the God of creation says to you, behold life, not death. Day dawns within Saul's soul, within my soul, within your souls. Sunrise for the first time, out of the darkness, light. And God says, behold a new creation. And the adventure of this journey of transformation, real deep transformation, begins. I didn't wait 3 days. Oh, no. As soon as I got my kids on the bus on Monday morning, I phoned my minister. Selma, I know this is your day off. I need to come over right now. So before noon, I was sitting there in the manse, in the living room. I was on the couch. I can still remember. All of this is very real. And this was a fair number of years ago. It was 1991. Anyways, I have to speak to you. So I'm sitting on the couch. And Selma's sitting in the chair across from me. And she's eyeing me suspiciously because I'm sitting here like this, kind of casual, like I sit when I'm at church because I'm casual and I want to be connected. So I'm just sitting there, la-di-da. And I've got this stupid grin on my face, and I can tell I've got a stupid grin on my face. And I say to her, guess what? Guess what, Selma? I'm lesbian. Who knew? And Selma, I can still remember what she did. She gulped. She became quiet. And then she said to me, well, it seems to suit you. I guess she'd seen a lot of my depression that I didn't know was showing. Anyway, she says, it seems to suit you. Pause. And then she said, do you know any lesbians? And I said, no, I don't know any lesbians. Why would I? I'm in the middle of a country north of Mount Forest. We don't have lesbians up here, do we? And I said, but that doesn't matter because now I know who I am, and God is the one who is going to get me through this, and if I only keep listening, everything's going to be fine, right? And this part isn't written in here. And then do you know what she said to me? Because we were in Holstein. She lived in Holstein, if you know where that is, in the middle of nowhere. She said, oh, gee, I just had two lesbians overnight last night. They were biking from Emmanuel College out to BC because one of them has just been ordained. I went, what? There were lesbians that close to me? Only 10 miles away? I didn't have any idea. And later I found out that there were three couples living within 1 kilometer of my house. But I had no idea. Because I'd never seen them, because I'd never thought about them. Anyhow, that's not part of this story. So like Saul, I experienced the exuberance of rising from the dead. That is what I felt like. I was raised from the dead. The awe of being resurrected is amazing. I was viewed as a threat by all my closest Christian friends. And so each one of them took 5 steps back and cut me out of their lives. I was shunned by many of my extended family who felt that I would suddenly wreak havoc on the children at family reunions. Okay, what? I'm the family historian. I'm the one who brings all the books and charts. And they purposely didn't tell me they were having a family reunion. And I just saw it on my mom's kitchen table. Woo! Family reunion, that's great. And she says, you're not supposed to know about that, actually. Wait, why? Well, they're just afraid, you know, of what you might do with those children. What? Okay. So I wrote each of my aunts and uncles a letter telling them who I was and that I couldn't be kicked out of the family no matter what they thought. So, like Saul, I lost every support that had deadened my life and my heart. Like Saul, who changed his name from Saul to Paul, I symbolized my new life in Christ by changing my name from Marnie to Meg, because my real name's Margaret. And like Saul, I found another community, strong in loving commitment and alive with God's Spirit, where I was and still am nurtured for deep, ongoing transformation. Praise God. You know, in Christ, we, all of us, every one of you and me, all of us together, we are freed in Christ. We are freed at last to become new creatures. And sometimes we don't even know what that might look like or guess. However, when we're led by God, we go from death to life. Amen.